Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mega.
I just feel like it's insulting to the big fella when somebody...
Who's Glenn?
No, the son. I call the big fella. The big fella's called the son.
Joe
also.
Biden?
Yeah. No, 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 not him either. No. Big fella. Big fella's up in the sky.
Which big fella?
Big fella's the son.
Oh, the guy. Okay, guy.
Yeah, big fella's the son. Yeah.
You called the son
big fella? I'm like, hey, big fella, come on up, big fella. Big fella. Big fella, what you doing?
Wow, where do we begin? Do you want the bad news or the worst news? Chris Sale broke his wrist, fell off a bike. Dunsky for the season.
Yeah, you couldn't make this up, right?
Patriots had a team meeting following a dismal practice. And you know what this show thinks of team meetings.
It never
doomed,
works,
right?
Never,
absolutely
ever
doomed.
Works.
Oh, and Bill Belichick? Not results-oriented.
Kind of look at everything. I know you're very results-oriented. I get that.
You know who is results-oriented? His boss.
It doesn't sometimes look straight line to our fans and or to myself, but I'm results-oriented.
Lou Merlone.
What's Xana do?
Don't even search for it.
All right, I was not getting it.
Stick with Sandy. And black spandex, you know, smoking a cigarette.
Yes. R.I.P.
And stepping on it with her shoe. You got to... Yeah, I'm sorry.
Christian Fourier.
Wella, wella, wella.
Megan Ottolini.
Who'd you get?
I got
Mars! It's Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on Boston Sports Original.
You wanted to call it, huh?
Yeah, I could. Huh? I wasn't sure how to write it. So I was like, huh? What?
Coming up next.
WEEI.
All right, Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
Do you want to start with the breaking news?
A little rattled.
We have new breaking news?
The Red Sox signed Juris Familia.
Who?
Juris? How do you pronounce it?
I think it's Juris Familia.
Juris Familia.
Oh. Sounds a little familiar.
Formerly Mets closer.
That was good, like back when he was with the Mets years ago. I think he's from the Phillies, right? They just released him because he couldn't get anybody out.
That's right.
So the Red Sox just signed him. Whatever.
Oh, I have breaking news also.
It's another big league.
I have breaking news. I'm going to read my breaking news.
Yeah.
Oh, riding a bicycle as a member of the Red Sox is now determined to be conduct detrimental.
Oh, you get out of it? Void the contract?
Yes. If you ride a bike and you fall off of it, your contract will be null and void.
All right, if you missed it, Chris Sale this morning, it was announced the Boston Red Sox came out that he had broken his wrist falling off of a bike. He required surgery. They had that today, and he's going to be out for the season. So they announced the surgery, and it's that's. So I want to hear from Chaim Bloom because he actually did a Zoom meeting with the media to kind of explain some of these things on what happened with Chris Sale. This was Bloom talking about how he fell off his bike.
So this happened Saturday afternoon around lunchtime. Chris had actually just finished up his throwing at BC. Of course, we were using BC this past weekend because of the shows here at Fenway, and took his bike out to go grab some lunch near his house and hit something going down a hill, flew off the bike, and I learned about it later that afternoon. He reached out to Brad. Brad got over there and attended to him, and I was up in Portland actually this weekend and got looped in by Brad.
I mean, you can't make it up.
Unbelievable.
You can't make it up. Like, I don't even know.
No.
What do you do with this guy? Listen, he's got, okay, so the right wrist is surgery. Right wrist, thank God. Left fingers and the pinky. I don't even want him going out running. He will blow his ACL out running around the city of Boston. Like, seriously, just go and fish. I don't know. There's hooks involved. I don't know what
no,
can happen.
No, that's bad. No, think about this. Because I feel like we just need to laugh about it right now. Think about it. So on his left throwing hand, the hand that he pitches with, he's got a cast on because he had like an index finger, broke his index finger.
Pinky.
And pinky, okay, fine. Like you really need the pinky. You should just cut it off. Okay, the other one, on the other hand, you broke your wrist.
Yeah.
He was literally walking around town like a lobster. Like, who opens the door for him?
It's so bizarre.
I mean, it's so pathetic. It's comical to the point where, what's next? What else can happen to this guy? He actually, what is he? Go head over heels? Like, so he hits like a rock and he flies over his handlebars. You know those, like, when you're a kid, that's like the my biggest fear is like hitting something, like hitting a curb and then falling over and my feet are still clipped in and the bike just falls right on top of me. But obviously, no, he doesn't. He tries to brace himself for the fall and he breaks his wrist.
Unbelievable.
What else can happen? Just stop doing everything. Stop. Because nothing's working.
If you're the trainer or whoever and you get that first call from Chris Sale about the wrist, do you think he's just like playing a horrible joke? You're like, no, come on. You're like, where
what?
Are you? What?
Where? Yeah,
why
I'm on the middle of the street. Why do you need a ride?
What, you're in a ditch?
I'm falling and I can't get up.
It's you know, it's so bizarre. It's like, you know, you talk about a guy that broke his rib throwing a baseball. John Tomasi kind of broke it down. You know, Chris Sale's five-year, $145 million extension took effect. The extension took effect in 2020. Since then, he has made 11 starts. Okay, he's got a playoff ERA of 8. He's thrown three starts. He had 9 innings, 8 earned runs. So he made 11 regular season starts, 3 postseason starts since this extension. Missed 2 years from Tommy John surgery. Contracted COVID. Broke a rib throwing a pitch. Broke a pinky on a line drive hit back to him. And now has broken his wrist falling off his bike. And the last two are so crazy. Like, I still go back to breaking a rib throwing a baseball. That when that happened, I'm like, no, that's not how it happened. I was convinced that's not how it happened. Like, playing pickup basketball, something happened. And this one here, I'm sort of like, is he just pissed and just punched something with his right hand? Like, did this really happen? Like,
did he really fall off his bike?
Because the injuries are so, and I'm not saying that's what happened. I don't know anything. But they're so bizarre. And when things are so bizarre, these things go in your mind like, that kid. It's no, right?
Yeah, well, how about even the that fact that happen, like, we were joking about when he was down in Worcester and he, like, you know, pulled the TV off the wall. Like, the biggest fear was, like, this guy's, stay away, he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Like, so the last thing he should be doing is, like, you know, is, like, trying to wreck anything because he's now Mr. Glass. Like, you can't take him anywhere. He shouldn't be doing anything. They should wrap him in, like, bubble wrap and just, like, protect him till next year. Because now, I mean, listen, I don't know if you thought he was going to come back anyways.
No, I'd say now he's nothing but a lottery ticket. I would put a 5-man rotation in camp, and they're like, well, what about Chris Sale? I'd say, well, let's worry about Chris Sale in April.
In all seriousness, right? Does he need, like, calcium supplements or something?
I don't know.
Like, does
he's got weak bones.
He's got bird bones. Does he have, like, old lady osteoporosis or something? Like, is going on?
I don't know.
Anytime that he falls,
he's got bad luck.
Anything, like,
is that just bad luck? Because there are certain guys. I do think you do go through stretches in your life, in your career, where it's like nothing goes right, and it just keeps piling on and piling on and piling on, and eventually you just kind of have to just say, well, okay, maybe this is it. And I actually thought, like, the "this is it" part, like, well, where the bad luck is kind of like
pinky.
Reached its axis. Yeah. Was the pinky.
Yeah.
Because you also forgot about the whole personal issue that he had to deal with.
Right.
Right.
That was not in Tomasi's thing. I mean, it's not an injury, but he wasn't available.
Delayed a couple weeks of the whole rehab thing. You're right. The pinky thing was like the fluke. And then you've got this. Like, and I feel bad for him because, you know, I'm sure he's going absolutely crazy. My only thing is I would actually advise him not to talk to the media. Like, I would actually, like, see them all and be like, guys, there's nothing to say. Like, I can't, like, because I think it was starting to get to the point where it's like, man, this guy's got to get on the field. With some of the stuff he's talking about, whether it's like the vaccinations or what happened in Worcester, or about how I'm not a normal job, like, and how bad he wants to come back. And it just started getting, it's 2 or 3 years of it started getting old. Yeah, I know. We know you're an animal and you want to be on the mound, but you haven't been. So I just want to see you pitch. There's nothing else he can say. Like, if he meets with the media, what's he going to say? Like, this is killing me, but I'm going to work my tail off. I'm going to bring my lunch pail. You know, the hardo stuff started coming out. Like, well, because it's just, you haven't seen him throw in, like, 3 years.
On the other side, if you're a reporter, what are you asking him?
How are you feeling?
Like, how are your bones?
Yeah.
Are you drinking milk?
Can you believe this happened to you again?
2%.
2%. What's going on?
But I'm just saying, like, there's nothing more for him to say.
We got to start treating him differently. I'm sorry to say, I know he's still on this massive contract, and we can talk about how bad the contract is when you stack it up against other bad contracts in recent Red Sox history. But at the same time, like, he hasn't had the output since he signed the contract whatsoever. He hasn't had the production. He's not the same player anymore because he can't get on the freaking field. So we treat the media availability a little differently for Chris Sale right now, I think.
So we threw that question out there. Like, you know, is this the worst contract, Red Sox contract ever? And 44% of you still feel it's Pablo Sandoval. 20% say Ruzne Castillo. That I would say was $10 million a year for 7 years. He never played for you, but he was down in AAA. He didn't even count against the CBT. And Chris Sale and Kyle Crawford are tied at 18%. I would still put Chris Sale number one because I think at, you know, 25, you know, $30 million a year, 25 in the luxury tax, I think that the future deal, you know, I think affected the long-term look of this baseball team. They're like, we have contracts, and I also think it affected Dave Dombrowski leaving Boston. You know, it might have affected Mookie Betts leaving Boston because, you know, Sale's long-term, and then you had Eovaldi long-term, you had JD long-term, you know, you had Bogaerts coming up, and they were just like, financially, we're kind of screwed here, and one of our pitchers is always hurt. So I still think that's the worst one. The last 3 years, he started 11 games. Like, Pablo sucked, but at least he played 140 of them.
Yeah, but are we really calling that playing time, though?
$19 million. This guy's like 25.
I know, but the thing that I guess – at least
5 years.
Yeah, they both played fine. But Pop, don't you feel like taking advantage of
Pablo was more
with Pablo?
Yes,
it felt like they think you're stupid. Like the Red Sox are trying to serve this guy up to some like, you know, some like, you know, character, some like, you know, novelty act. And here he is. He's fat as hell. He can't play for a lick. And you're sitting there and defending him, talking about how his body fat is great. And not many of us can be in shape like he is.
Yeah, I'm not comparing him to Pablo. Pablo is more of an embarrassment. All I'm saying is that you paid for an ace, and since you've given it to him, when the contract kicked in, you haven't even seen any of it. Yeah, Tommy John, you expected this to be the year that now he's back to Chris Sale. This was supposed to be the year he was back to Chris Sale. Last year he got his feet wet. And this year you've got 5 2/3 innings and 2 starts. Like, it's nothing against him personally. I just think that what you spent for and what you're looking for, it's the worst one you've given
out. Well, if you look at it that way, fine. But I look at it personal. No, I just feel
like a lot more than Pablo.
Like, this guy, you know, winning the World Series as many as he did with the San Francisco Giants and being this character, the whole Pablo, like the whole panda hat, that whole stupid thing. And he was paraded around, you know, Fenway and training camp as this, like, just badass third baseman. He was such a dope. And the whole Diva legacy thing in the bullpen, like not in the bullpen, in the clubhouse. Yeah, no, in the
clubhouse during the game.
The clubhouse during the game.
I love that you still remember the name, by the way.
I do. You know what that is? There are certain names like you just should never know. They should have no meaning in your life. For some reason, Diva legacy is like somehow imprinted into my head because it just, I relate it to Pablo Sandoval. Like, here's this guy in the middle of work trolling chicks on Instagram, looking for likes and looking for hookups and DMing people, trying to set himself up with a date when the game is over. Like that.
The game is going on. Still.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But when it's over, it's like, yeah, he's doing it while the game is going on. Yeah. So he has something set up to occupy his time when the game's over.
Christian.
In Atlanta.
Time management, okay? He's setting it up so as soon as the game's over, he can go right to Diva.
Oh, man.
And there's no doubt. Like, Pablo was more embarrassing. The guy's busting belts. He quit. He signed
a
contract and he quit. He just quit on you. Like, he quit. He got fat. He wasn't into it. He quit. He gave him the money and he quit. I'm not saying Sale quit at all. Like, I respect him a hell of a lot more than Pablo Sandoval. I'm just saying, as far as return on investment, like what you gave up, and I do think, you know, it played a role in where this organization went in 2019. You know, it wasn't a good place, and we're still feeling the effects of, you know, the one area where Dombrowski made mistakes was that, you know, 19, he just started giving money out to everybody. And I think that led to him probably being out of here. And deep down, I think I'd rather have him here right now.
I hadn't gotten that from you.
Because I like
this
to
week.
See him go out and sign some of these guys. All right, listen, we come back, the Patriots. The word down in Gillette is that today was actually a pretty good day for this team. But what has been going on the last couple of days? We'll discuss it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Think of all these bicycle songs. Who's ever heard of them?
That's great. I think it's great.
Oh, Chris Sale. He is out for the rest of the year, unfortunately. Had surgery today. A broken wrist falling off of his bike while going out for lunch. And it's just one thing after another for him. Like, I feel bad for him. Let's go to some of the calls real quick before we get some Patriots talk. Let's go to Jeff in New Bedford. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, love the show, guys. Two things. Make the Red Sox better, moving forward, release Sale, and fire the general manager, 100%.
What would release Sale do?
Hey, cut your losses. This is
What do you mean? What would that do?
No, I'm just saying,
hey,
like,
come on, loser.
Like you could cut him. Or he could give you, like, a 5-good-game stretch at some point in the next 2 years. Wouldn't that be worth it? Like, he's a lottery ticket. Why would you cut him?
Okay.
Cut Chris Sale.
I'm with you. Like, it's almost like, I'm so sick of seeing him. I just want to cut him.
Yeah.
And the general manager, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all his friends.
Look. Let's go to one more call.
Hey.
Let's go to Phil in New Hampshire.
He's
talking
trying
about,
to bully you into his answer.
Chris Sale, was he the worst contract the Sox gave out? Just given the return on investment so far. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, guys. I think you're forgetting about something that we stepped into that really was a real deep hole.
What's
and
that?
It was in Japan. How about Tanaka? Didn't we pay like mega millions just to have the opportunity to bid for him?
For Tanaka?
Does that sound familiar?
Oh, my God.
No.
who
are you thinking of, Phil?
That's the way business is done in Japan. You pay
you're
for
not
the
talking about Daisuke Matsuzaka, right?
Matsuzaka?
You're talking about Daisuke.
Yes.
Oh, Daisuke? Well,
yeah.
All right. Listen, Daisuke was here for, I think, like, 6 years? And was he great? No. Was he awful at the end? Sure.
Hey.
Was he worth it?
He was better than Tanaka.
Tanaka.
What are you saying? Tanaka.
He wasn't worth the hype, but no, I don't know. I'm not putting him in the Chris Sale category.
For what it's worth, they paid $51 million just to sign him, just to win the exclusive negotiation.
Yeah, like, that's what he was talking about. That's what was Tanaka. I'm like, who goes Tanaka?
Sounds like something you like spray in your mouth for
Yeah, say Banaka.
Yeah, Banaka. There we go.
Hey.
All right, so apparently the word in the street talking to, hey, the Patriots, a better day today.
Yeah, how about
a better
that?
Day. People actually feeling a little bit better. So is it amazing because do you feel like we won good practice away? Because I don't know if they want to call it good or not. To the point where everyone's like, okay, whatever. We just overreacted the last week. Are we at that point or there's still real concerns?
You know, I think there's still real concerns because Bill used to always have these post-practice meetings, you know, after you would string 3 or 4 good practices together. I remember it was like, all right, guys, all right, yeah, you go, stringing them together. That's what we're doing. We're just stringing
you
together.
You got to stack days.
Yeah, we got to stack those days. Small investment, big dividends in the middle of the year. So that's when I start talking like Trump.
I don't know.
But the answer is no. And the reason is because I feel like a lot of these guys, like Curran, you know, Mike Reese, Giardi, I mean, you name it, Callahan, I feel like they almost don't believe what they're seeing. So when they're forced to write what they're seeing, and that's all they're going by is what they're seeing and what things have looked like last year, the year before that, and the year before that, they are obviously drawing a conclusion that this doesn't look anything like it should look like at this point in time in camp. Forget about changes. Forget about it. Like more often than not, you should be competent at the little things at the least. So every time we see like some reporter kind of list off like, you know, the first 10 plays of 11 on 11, you know, or the first 10 plays on, you know, blitz pickup, it's false start, miss block, incomplete, interception, 1 yard gain, stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Like, to me, I feel like these guys collectively are doing their best to give you an honest, you know, assessment of what's going on, and they almost don't believe what they're writing.
Yeah, then everybody gets pissed at them. It's like, oh, the media, just wait. It just makes me double down on the Patriots. I mean, look, for to their credit, today, I think everybody tried to put some silver lining on Cam.
Oh, bright side today.
We heard from Mike Giardi a couple hours ago. Check out that that interview on the Odyssey app because he was really good. But he tweeted out today, a better day for Patriots offense, arguably their best of camp. Nothing crazy, but it looked like more of a fluid operation, less errors. But then
it looked like a normal camp.
Yeah, Greg Bedard comes in and says, no all-out competitive periods today, but the offense looked competent.
What does that mean?
They seem to dial things back a bit, simplified.
Christian, no all-out competitive periods. What does that mean? Like, it wasn't, they had pads on, 11 on 11. What do you mean, no all-out?
Yeah, I don't, like, so tackling to the ground. Okay, where the coach comes in and says, hey, just so there's no misunderstanding, this is live. This is real. Treat it like you would a game. Well, you're cutting, you're tackling to the ground. Instead of it being a couple steps and stop because you're just, you know, you don't want to get anybody hurt. So that's what we usually would call thud. But there still is a clear understanding of who won and who lost.
So the Patriots offense looked good when the defense didn't have to try their best?
Well, they weren't worried about winning and losing. Like, we're just almost like servicing you. It's like we're a look team. Like, we're just trying to get our fits. We don't worry about you. Like, because what a back will do and what you see Mac doing is, like, a guy will, like, what the defense will do, they'll two-hand touch you. They'll just touch you with two hands. That kind of says, listen, I was in position. But then the back keeps running, and then the crowd goes, oh, my God, look at that move. Or, like, right, the defensive back, you know,
or Mac Jones
running
in the Pro Bowl.
Mac Jones running for a touchdown when nobody gives a crap whether he scores a touchdown. And he looks like the superhero. So, the other day, there was somebody who released a clip on Twitter about Mac Jones scrambling for a touchdown. Like, the play, it totally broken down. The defense had stopped trying because, we sacked you.
Well, one of the big things that came out of the practice here today, Mego's friend, Andrew Callahan, tweeted out, fight, fight. So apparently this was David Andrews
fight.
Christian Barmore went to the ground, a post-play scrap on an 11-on-11. His teammates swarmed. They quickly broke it up. Mark Daniels says, talking about, felt like Andrews was trying to send a message today after the O-line took a butt-whooping yesterday. Zach Cox, whole offense, defense jumped in, including Mac Jones, who was pulled out by Nelson Agholor. And I do wonder that Mark Daniels' comment, so David Andrews, you know, a captain, has a little offensive meeting yesterday after practice.
After they look like dog poop.
After they look like crap. So he's pissed off about it. He downplays it with the media afterwards. And all of a sudden, the next day in camp, he shows up and gets into a fight with a guy that's blowing up the defense all week in Barmore. So was it to send a message? They both get sent up. They're both sent to the – which I think is great. You two guys walk hand to hand. You hold hands and go to the locker room again. Don't fight in
that's
there.
That's happened before. Apparently, Christian,
don't fight in there.
That's happened before.
Apparently, Barmore left, according to reports, Barmore left the field immediately. David Andrews took a knee, watched a little bit of practice, and then left. Yeah,
but I mean, I just wonder if it wasn't more of a, you know, I don't think Bill's sitting there saying, hey, Andrews, do something, but I think it was Andrews sitting there saying, okay, I got to send a message. I didn't like the intensity of what we're doing here. They're kicking our ass. I come out right away. I pick on the biggest guy we've got right now who's destroying us. And as it turned out, without the two of them, they have one of their best practices.
Without Barmore.
Without Barmore.
Yeah,
without
Barmore.
Andrews, though, you're starting center. You still have one of the more productive offensive practices. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah, I wonder if it's more about, you know, Andrews coming off a shoulder surgery, showing up like technically late to practice before he got cleared, and Barmore not missing any time and just adding on to the resume that was so good from last year and, you know, just really disrupting things, and Andrews being the vet, not liking it. Not liking it. I can easily see that, him being frustrated. But here's the thing. Like, if we're going to be all uptight and agitated about, you know, the 10th practice, you know, of camp before they even played a preseason game, before they even did a simulation of a game, I think you just need to kind of calm down a little bit.
You're saying
we're
getting all twisted up for no reason.
Well, I do feel like there's a tad bit of that, no? Like, do you think we overanalyze a little bit?
I think it's...
I feel like you're over... I think it's like...
When your opinion is a certain way going into camp, that I don't think this, the coaching, the offensive coaches are going to work. Because isn't that like the prevailing opinion? Or just at least intrigued to see if it's going to work. Because there's doubts whether this offensive coaching staff will work or not. And then you see what it looks like here early on in camp. I think it only kind of helps your argument.
See, what worries me...
That's why people are reacting.
What worries me is the communication factor, where I feel like the word is, like, you know, that I'm hearing more is communication. So what should be understood is that should not be your problem. You should be, if you're getting beat physically, I feel like that's fine. Like, they get paid, you get paid. They figure it out. But communication issues, like, so you're jumping offside, so you don't understand, like, Mac Jones is like cadence anymore, Trent Brown. Like, so communication, like, you don't, the guard doesn't know what to tell the center. So that the tackle doesn't know what the guard is saying. The tight end is completely left on an island. He has no clue what anybody's doing. And therefore, everyone is just guessing. It's too late because the ball was snapped. And then the defense, they're just reacting anyways. And they're shooting the gap. Next thing you know, the whole play is blown up. So now everybody's playing on edge. Nobody knows. Nobody's exactly sure what to do. So all I heard from Damien Harris and Trent Brown is how this new system was going to allow them to play faster.
Well, we have Devin McCourty, actually, after practice, I think, Ryan, if you've got it, talking about the fight itself.
Training camp's an awesome time. We're competing against each other. We're two different teams a lot of times. Like, you got the offense, the defense, and you're going at it. We're making each other better. But, like, we're playing a game in 2 days, and that's what it's about. It's about now bringing this whole thing together. We get an opportunity to go out there, cheer on. I get a chance to cheer on Damien as I've been talking trash to him every day at training camp. And I think that's what it's about. And, you know, obviously that's a part of football. Those things happen. It's not like the end of the world. But I'm not one of those guys that are like, man, it's great to see fighting at. Like, that won't help us win any football games. Like, it's not going to do anything. But it happens. It won't be a big deal here. It never is. But I'm excited about how now we're moving forward. And we get opportunity to be the New England Patriots. We get opportunity to be one team, coming together, cheering on each other, helping each other make plays, and ultimately at the end of the day to win a football game. So we'll get a chance to do that Thursday. I know the whole league will be excited, other than two teams that have played already, to get out there and hit somebody other than the guy you share a locker room with.
So, Christian, I want to ask you this. Hearing Devin there, I think Devin is one of the best guys in the locker room right now at telling the truth about what the sentiments in the locker room are. Does it sound more adversarial than usual between the offense and defense right now?
No.
Because he says, well, finally have a time to be all one team on Thursday.
No.
Going against the Giants.
No, that's it.
Always this little bit of
there's a little bit of edginess. Yeah, you just listen, like...
Look, even though the offense is so frustrated.
No, it's like this every single year. You just like, what is this? Going into the second week. They haven't even hit that
third,
much.
Was
it the third week?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, so this is normal. You hear this all the time. You just get worn out. It's redundant.
Christian Barmer's out there like Rudy Rudigator, like blowing everybody up. And you're like, hey, can you stop? It's 97 degrees outside.
Easy, Rudy.
Well, yes, and you know what I'm saying?
Well, but the other thing is like, you're just like, they know what your moves are. Like, everybody's accustomed to everybody. It's everybody's cheating the drill. And you have no advantage because they know what you're going to do. They know your calls. They know everything. And then the offense gets irritated because the defense is, like, you know, basically cheating.
How you doing, right? Man? How you doing, man?
You all right? Yeah. You don't make a pile. I don't make a pile. No, I don't. This is normal. Oh, it's third week, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. It feels like it's the second week.
We're into
flying
the third.
By. Man, August is almost over. Kids are going back to school.
So, yeah, and I think the biggest thing is we when we had Mike Giardi on, and if you missed our conversation with him, we had him on around 3:20. You can go in the Odyssey app and just favorite Merlone, Forey, and Mego. You can check out the whole interview. The real question is, like, why? You know, like, why? They're talking a lot of talk about changing a scheme, and it's like, why? And he said a lot of people feel that Bill Belichick has always wanted to do this, and now with Josh gone, he has an opportunity to maybe catch up with the times and do something he wanted to do. Others feel like, well, maybe they don't have the coaching staff to be able to coach the same offense that they've had for a while. It's a little more complicated. And there's a lot of inexperience there. But there's no question that it seems like there's like a different scheme. Today, Mac Jones talked about the adjustments of it today with the media.
What have you seen here? Frustration you've experienced and expressed can lead to personal growth for you and for the team as a whole. Have you seen positives in that vein?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to figure it out. I always have, and I always will. And at the end of the day, you're going to have your ups and downs with anything new. But I've learned a lot of different systems, and the guys around me have too. And we know what football looks like. We know what a good play looks like and the schematics behind it. It's not just the result. It's the process of how it looks. Run play, hat on a hat, pass protection, hat on a hat, and then the guys getting open, which they've done. It just needs to be more consistent. And we all trust in each other at the end of the day. When I walk on the field and there's 10 people that look into my eyes, I know that they're going to trust me to do the right thing on game day.
Look into my eyes.
Yeah, look me right in the eye. You guys can trust me. Everybody look at me.
See.
This guy's never really lost ever in his life, has he?
Hat on a hat.
He's never lost. Like he doesn't have the Kyler Murray record where he never lost in high school or in college or something.
Never, not
like
once.
Well, a couple things stood out. Like when he talks about, like, you know, I'm not worried about it. I'll figure it out.
Always have, always will, Lou.
Which tells me right now he doesn't have it. He hasn't figured it out. It's early in
camp.
He's
selling too much.
Right. But and then he also talked about in the middle there. He's like, you know, a lot of us have played in a bunch of different schemes before. So it's like more and more. I don't know. I almost feel like I'd be more comfortable if they said, listen, it's the same scheme. It's just different. Like, it's the same foundation. You know, like Charlie Weiss had said, it's the same foundation. They're just doing a few things here and there differently to set their, you know, their talent, which is what they should. They should look at their talent and do a couple of things different. But more and more, it's like, it's an entirely different scheme. And even he admits it. We've all, learned a bunch of different schemes. We'll figure it out.
Well, and that's not really what Charlie Weiss said is not really the party line that's been coming out of Foxborough, because we heard from Bill Belichick earlier today. We don't need to go to it right now, but Tommy Kerr in a line of questioning about, you know, how things are looking with the offense and if there's any common denominator there. And then we hear from Mac Jones in there, both of them saying it's not all about results, guys. You know, I know you guys are interested in results. It's not all about results. And then on the other side, you have your owner and Bob Kraft saying, it is about results.
Yeah.
But at this point in training camp, their line right now is still, it's not about results. Pads just came on a week and a half ago. So, you know, it's every man for himself out here. Right
I'm results-oriented.
Kind of look at everything. I know you're very results-oriented. I get that. But it's more than just the result of the play. It's what all 22 people are doing.
I'm telling you, I don't like this at all.
You just said we were overreacting.
Isn't that defensive Belichick?
Christian, are you okay?
No, I don't know. No, I don't. Listen, I didn't like it.
Come on.
I don't know. I didn't. I never said this was going to work. It's not going to work.
You said it was going to be a disaster.
It's going to be a disaster.
Which it looks like it's a disaster.
But then you told my us question that was we like, were okay, like, just overreacting. Then y'all wound up.
Well, I asked you a question. Do you feel like, I didn't say I felt that way. Do you feel like you're overreacting?
Yeah, I would say my answer
is overanalyzing that. Because of what you said. Is that just kind of like the trend now to overreact and, you know, and be overly critical?
No, my answer to that is no, not overreacting. There should be real concern because this is like a scheme thing. This isn't like, you know, you look at spring training, you look at camp, whatever, and I don't take everything out of it. Like, I would laugh at you, like we mentioned before, if after week two you said, oh, my God, the Red Sox aren't winning games in spring training. I'm like,
oh, my
really?
God, they lost to the Rays
well, this
again.
Guy's not throwing well, whatever. It's like, dude, it's the second week of spring training. But they're changing the entire scheme. Most people, when they thought about McDaniels leaving and Patricia or Judge or someone taking over, sat there and said, it doesn't matter who the offensive coordinator is. They're going to run the same offense that Bill Belichick's run for years. And it's Mac Jones is going to be year two. He's going to have a better understanding of the offense. Now, Jonnu Smith is going to have a better understanding of the offense. Aguilar is going to have a better understanding of the offense. And, you know, they got a lot of guys coming back from last year. So you were relying on that as kind of like a hope. You know, it's like, they're going to be better. Why? Well, because of that. Well, now it's not year two for anybody in this offense. It's year one for everyone in this offense. It's a new offense with coaches that aren't as experienced trying to teach a second-year quarterback how to properly run it. Like, that's strategy. That's scheme. That's a concern, and it should be.
Yeah, I'm worried because I'm now having to be concerned about things that I didn't even know I had to worry about coming into the preseason. I was worried about the corners. I didn't know I had to worry about the offensive coordinator. I didn't know I had to worry about implementing an overhauled offensive system. Like, I didn't think that these things were going to be the concerns going in.
You know,
now there's even more. We're not even talking about the corners because we're talking about how bad the offense looks day after day. Except
somebody
for today.
Somebody sent out like a video of the offensive line with doing what they call the boards. So there's like, you know, three boards, and it's like a drill where like the offensive linemen practice keeping their legs spread and chopping their feet, and then they engage like you know, one of the bags. Somebody's holding the bag, and then they drive their feet. And I was just sitting there trying, okay, where's Billy Yates? Okay, where's Matt Patricia? Because during a one-on-one, you know, technique drill, I would like to see the offensive lines coach, like Scar, right in the middle of those drills, yelling and screaming at these fat cows to move their feet. Because they don't move their feet. Now, they're big, fat cows. That's what they are, okay? But nobody's in there. So I'm sitting there obsessing over this.
Hey.
And then sure enough, I see Matt Patricia in the back, like in the middle of it, but like almost like he was doing something else. So, and what I think this is going to be a disaster, because this is not how an offensive line is coached. It just doesn't work. So,
issues have been with the offensive line, because all the reports that 7-on-7s have actually been pretty good. And the minute you go to 11-on-11s and introduce an offensive line, that's where things go south.
Sack, so, run stuff,
yeah,
run
that's
stuff.
That's where it goes south.
Is that too mean, fat cows?
Yeah, it is.
I apologize.
Pretty mean.
Apology of the day. Yeah, I didn't mean, I meant to call you big boned and fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
that's not okay.
We got last call. It's next.
We're back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars, no handlebars.
Ryan, you're killing.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No.
Are you saying that Chris Sale was riding his bike with his hands in the air, not holding on to the handlebars? Hands in the air.
I think Chris Sale ghost wrote this song.
If you're riding your bike with no handlebars, aren't you basically riding a unicycle?
Yes, pretty much.
And that's how Chris Sale broke his wrist.
But it would be not if it's.
Can you imagine if that was the real reason? Like, Bloom is lying about the fact that it was an actual bike. It was like a unicycle.
Can I ask you a question about this? We got a lot of text in Twitch chat commenters asking why there's no video or picture of Chris Sale ever riding a bike in Boston, but the one day he breaks his wrist riding near BC to go get lunch, there's nothing? That seems a little odd.
I don't know. Is he like riding through a congested area, or is it in like a neighborhood? Because they know over by BC, it's like there's a lot of neighborhoods around there.
Yeah. Because it's so odd, your mind starts wandering. Like, again, my mind starts wandering. Did he really break a rib throwing a baseball? Has anyone ever done this in their entire lives? You know how many people have thrown a baseball in this country? Like, thrown a baseball. And I know you're not throwing it 97, but still, throwing it with everything you got, and you broke a rib. And then here, like, fracturing his wrist, falling off a bike. But then again, this is a guy that fractured a pinky on a comebacker, which is extremely uncommon. But yeah, your mind starts wandering. Was he pissed? Did he punch a wall with the right hand because he can't pitch, or his arm's not feeling good, or his pinky ain't healing quick enough? Is he just pissed off? I have no idea.
Yeah, next time he gets upset, he's going to have to ask somebody to help him because he's got lobster hands. He's got lobster claws for hands.
I don't want him going out running. Like, I'm afraid he's going to hit a pothole or something and blow out his ACL.
Oh, geez, don't even say it.
There's one answer. Scarecrow Fight Club. He's part of a Scarecrow Fight Club.
Ooh, I should get in on that.
Scarecrow Fight Club. Mm. Is that for skinny, unathletic people?
There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ooh, Tyler and Ryan. There you go.
I like it. Before we get the last call, I just saw this. Tyler actually was just bringing this up to me because this whole, I don't know if you guys keep following or not, like LIV Golf versus the PGA, and now you got, I think, 11 guys from LIV are suing the PGA because... the Saudi Arabia, because joining LIV Golf is hurting their careers, which I think is interesting, but they're not letting them play in other tournaments. This one was really interesting here that Tyler just pointed out. This from Rich Gaiman on Twitter. The LIV lawyer just said that the money won in tournaments is, quote, recouped against the LIV contracts. So is he saying, like, because Cam Smith is the big story here. He got $100 million. He just won the U.S. Open. $100 million was the deal to go join LIV Golf. Do they not get paid for the golf tournaments? Like, does your winnings count up against the money they give you ahead of, out in front?
So here's a different tweet kind of with the same wording. In testimony, a lawyer for LIV golf players said that in some contracts, a player's prize money is recouped against his advance, a noteworthy admission that LIV previously denied. So yeah, that makes sense.
that they're going to give Cam Smith $100 million, but every time he actually wins the tournament, it comes out of his future advance? That makes no sense to me. Because I believe the contracts aren't paid out for like a 10-year period. So $100 million for Cam Smith, $10 million bucks a year.
That's so if he wins the tournament for $5 million, what are you saying? Like, he doesn't get it, and they just say, haha, we already paid you?
Well, they're paying him at a 10-year contract for $10 million. So if he wins a $5 million tournament, there's half of his money for the entire year.
Oh, so I thought the tournament winnings was, like, extra. Hey, I'm paying you $100 million to join. You get that for playing in the tournaments, and if you win, you get that money also.
Well, I guarantee you, like, you're going to make $10 million this year for the next 10 years, and if you only make three on tour, we're going to give you seven? Because we guaranteed you 10?
You're going to get 10 no matter what. It's a matter of timing. It's a matter of timing.
If you make 14, you're going to make an extra four.
You have to win a bunch of tournaments, essentially, to do that.
Man, I'm confused.
Quite transparently, I am too stupid to understand.
I'm with you. We're on the same short
I think bus. The weirdingest word, the money won in tournaments is, quote, recouped against the live contracts. I don't know. Maybe we'll figure that one out. All right, listen. Let's get the last call. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. Or give them a call at 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Now, those offensive linemen, what'd you call them, fatties?
Fat cows. But I feel bad about that now. I feel
you
really bad.
Feel bad.
I do. I
what do you
want
to call them now?
Heifers.
Sure, that works. Heifers. I feel like it's more polite.
Much better, yeah. Heifers. Do you ever hear of a heifer just singing opera? Like a big offensive line that can actually sing opera?
Yeah, that would make sense. Like, you know, like some
big
of those
body?
Like big opera, you know, guys like Pavarotti and... He's the only guy I know. Used to be fat.
I believe it's Ryan Duke, offensive lineman, Shane Lytle.
This is Chance Lytle. And he is an offensive lineman for the Duke, what are they, the Blue Devils football
Blue
program.
Blue Devils, yep.
And just to set the scene, he is standing in what I believe is the quad. He's surrounded by students. And let's listen to the songbird of our generation. This is Chance Lytle.
Suonali per mari che han con te venduto di soter con me e sa magnifico.
All right.
I mean,
you know, he's not exactly what I want to say? The Catalina wine mixer.
Yeah, I mean, he's not exactly like,
I mean,
bro.
That was not even what I thought it was going to. I thought it was going to sound good.
Do you think going to be big to sing opera?
I feel like most fat guys can kind of have a longer, better chance of, like, you know, carrying those deep, like, I could do this.
Wow, you were good.
I should do this.
You think a kicker could?
Partido.
Ryan, what about a kicker? You think a kicker could ever do it? You think a kicker could ever do it, Christian? Because you hate kickers.
I do.
Justin Tucker?
Justin Tucker is a, I mean, besides being one of the greatest kickers in history.
New contract.
Very, very famous, yes.
For what?
Big guarantee money. He's very famous for his operatic ability as well. Let's see if this passes Fourier's test.
Ooh. Holy cow. He's good.
That's a lot better.
He's real good. Is that really him?
Oh, this is really Justin Tucker.
He's a skinny guy, too. He's not a big fat guy. I do feel like this is easier to sing than like a normal song, like a Mariah Carey song.
Good. This is what we're gonna do because Mago says she's a great singer.
Yeah.
You think singing opera is easier?
Yeah.
So you sing opera.
Sure.
You sing a song, and we'll.
I sing Mariah Carey.
We'll sing off.
Yeah, you gotta sing like Whitney Houston, like a really tough Whitney Houston song.
I will.
And I'll sing whatever opera song you want me to sing. I don't care. I'll nail it.
Beautiful opera singers. Yes, he's not a big guy. You don't have to be a big guy.
He's good.
Justin Tucker's outstanding. Very good. Very good. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Sox and Braves. I believe we got a little mini mutt kind of getting you ready for the Sox and Braves here tonight. So that's going to do it for us. Enjoy the game, everybody. We're going to be right back here in studio down here at Fenway Park tomorrow at 2. We'll see you then.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.